So for the part of the family joining us this morning, I've been teaching through the book of Romans. We are in chapter 5. I would like to read those 11 verses one more time as we work our way down. Romans chapter 5. We have sung a lot of content this morning that we can find in the book of Romans. Romans opens up that world to us to show us what God has done, though we are unaware of it, as well as what God is doing. And if we are alert and open our eyes, we can see God's fingerprints. God is at work. In the midst of the chaos, like in the first part of chapter 5 here, the tribulation, not the 7-year tribulation, but tough stuff here, has a purpose, an overriding hand from God is on it. And it's there. And it comes down to where, now we can dance about it. Whoa, really? Does it really say that? Therefore, having been justified by faith. What does justified mean?
Just standing before God.
Justified, not sin.
Made right with God, restored the relationship between me and God. There's nothing I can do to gain that. I've been justified, declared righteous by God. I'm in a right stand with Him. By faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult. What does the word exult mean? Jump joyously. It does mean rejoice and even beyond. It is to be jubilant. It is and can be used that way to jump up and dance. May your ankle support you, sister, while you do that. And we exult in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, not only this, but we also jump up and dance at our tribulation. Wait a minute, really? That's where we were 2 weeks ago. Knowing that tribulation brings tough times, bring about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character. Proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint or make ashamed. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would even dare to step in front of the bullet, if you will. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Why? Because we have peace with God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, the word that means removing what separates us or divides us, pushes us apart, that has been removed, so reconciliation has happened. We've been brought back together. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Two key words in this section of 11 verses. One is the word through, and the other is the word exult. The word through is used 7 times. Verse 1, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, through whom we have obtained. Verse 5, The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. And then verse 11 twice, not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. The word exult is used three times. Verse 2, verse 3, and verse 11 that I've made a point of again this morning. Something to understand from this section. This section gives us a vivid contrast. This is setting us up for chapter 6. This gives us a vivid contrast between who we were prior to Christ entering our life. When we had faith and placed that in Jesus, compared to who we are now. That was prior, this is now. Watch this list. We were helpless, verse 6. Ungodly, verse 6. Sinners, verse 8. Enemies of God, verse 10. Now, we have been justified, verse 1. We are those that have peace with God, verse 1. Who are standing in the grace of God, verse 2. We have hope, verse 2, 4, and 5. We have the love of God in us, verse 5. We have the Holy Spirit in us, verse 5. We have been saved from the wrath of God, verse 9. And we are reconciled to God, verse 10. We are saved by his life, verse 10. Therefore, exalt! We have reason to do that. Here is then, and here is now. This is critical territory to have well-being in your mind. To have an understanding that you have peace with God, that no matter the chaos around, God has the upper hand and he's my Father. I am loved. I am. Through whatever may come. Chapter 5, I want to read verses 12 through 14. Briefly touch it and then go to another scripture. 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man, there's that word again. You can understand it in a real simple picture. The water is coming through the crack in the hull of my boat. It does mean, the word dia means to enter in through. Okay, it means that every time here. Through this or this person, this is also coming. Does that make sense? So in verse 5, or 15, I mean, where am I going? Verse 12, chapter 5, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world. Of course, who's that one man? And death through sin. So death spread to all men because all sinned. Come back to that in a moment. For until the law, sin was in the world. And he takes a little side note that commentaries are kind of a little funny about. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. What's the point of that? Well, sin has been imputed, and there is a higher law, and it's in the next verse. Nevertheless. In other words, if I don't know the rules of your house and I break them, how can I be held guilty for it? Let me know the rules and I'll do my best. Now, there was a law that came that was not yet written. And so this next verse says, nevertheless, death reigned. Where did death come from?
Sin.
Through sin. And that is evident, that is that sin is there. Death came in. from Adam until Moses. Moses was the one that wrote the law. They were held guilty before. Death is the evidence of that. Even over those who had not sinned in the likeness or in the same way of the offense of Adam, who is the type of him who is to come. Little comment. We must face the fact that all of us are, look at chapter 3, verse 9. All of us are, verse 9, chapter 3, what then? Are we better than they, Jews to the Greeks? Not at all, for we've already charged that both Jews and Greeks, that includes everybody now, are all under sin. Now he's going to explain what he means by that term right here. We are all under sin. Therefore, we do sin. We are under sin's reign and thus under death's vicious reign. We can't get away from that. In these chapters leading up to here and then beyond, Paul addressed the question, what can be done about my sin and guilt? Now he addresses the big question, where did it come from? Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and then death through sin. Again, the word through, the very operative word. Worse than water pouring into my boat through that crack in my hull, is that through the sin of one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. The creation that God looked at after he had spoken it into existence and said, that's good. After he made man, that's very good. Now good has been tainted at the very least. Thus death through sin became the usurping tyrant. Spiritual death was the first phenomenon that Adam and Eve experienced. Do you remember the question when God came to the garden to them? From God, the all-knowing, all-seeing God. What did he say? Adam, where are you? And that was not a game of hide and seek. It was a moral question. It was a spiritual question. What happened? God knew, but now it's time that Adam is educated. Adam, where are you? They experienced the phenomenon of the spiritual death. That also brought the physical death. Some years later, one of their sons murdered his brother. They all died, back then with the exception of Enoch. All are under sin. There is a tyranny that we were born into. Verse 12 again. So death spread to all men from Adam, because from him came all humanity, every human being. I have in my body some DNA. Good luck understanding that one this side of heaven. That DNA has dictated who I am, what I am. Somehow that was passed to me through my dad and mom. And then God, in his own creative way, massaged it to where I would be a unique individual, but it came through them. Let's take sin all the way back to Adam. Through him came the sin that passed on to the child that was born. That passed on to the child that was born. That passed on to the generations that were born. That has come right down to you and to me. Where's the proof? How deep do I need to show you in your life? Shall we look? Where's the proof? Why do I sin? Because I inherited that from Grandpa. Now he's going to go, and the reason he's putting this here is to show that the opposite is true through Christ. And it's a beauty. I'm not touching that this morning any further. Through one man, because all are under sin now, through the one man sin entered into that world, death through sin. We got a cemetery up there, and people have been dying ever since Adam. But Jesus came as the life giver, as the one that removed the fear of death. What do I have to fear? Romans gets into that, chapter 8. We're being put to death all day long. Yet we are what? More than conquerors through him who loved us. Physical death now has changed for me because I'm not what I used to be. I am now redeemed, and he has promised that death means entrance into the presence of the living God. Wow. Life with no death. Life with no confusion. Life with no end. Eternal. Eternal, eternal. I think we have reason to E-X-U-L-T. Wow, you did that for me. What a love. What a deep, deep love. Unboundless love. Leading up to this awful, unavoidable truth, given in verses 12 down to 14, Paul starts with the word exult. He gave that prior. He gave it a rejoicing note in chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for anyone who believes. He starts off there, but then has to explain, bringing us along, why we need it. It's because of this. To exult. 1,000 years before Jesus died to forgive all our sins, King David exulted in God. Yesterday, I again read one of the Psalms, and I want to use it today to gain a perspective of exulting with this stuff in mind, and hopefully join King David in it. Would you please turn to Psalm 103? 103. It's been referred to recently on another occasion in one of our public meetings. Psalm 103. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, a parent, mom or dad, would direct the children to do certain things. Officials in an authority, a teacher in a class, some law officer might direct us to do certain things. But here David's directing himself. It's like he's turned around in the mirror and talking to himself, saying, "Come on, soul, bless the Lord." What was spoken of recently was that word means to eulogize, to say what is right and good and true. Okay, soul, it's time, as that mirror speaks to me. So David starts, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." There comes the exult. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Shall we talk about that list again of who we are now in Christ? He's referring to stuff like that. What God has done for us, what God will do for us, don't forget any of that. When I forget it, I get off track. I get full of myself again. I get to licking my wounds. I get full of my own mourning for my circumstance or position or whatever. No, I bring the mind back to the Lord, Philippians 4:8. Right? Let your mind dwell on these things. So David is telling himself, and through that instructing us, forget none of his benefits. Rehearse that. Please, please, please don't ever think in your mind or say with your mouth, "Oh, I've heard that before. I need to hear it again." I do. who pardons all your iniquities. And this, by the way, is 1,000 years before the blood of Christ was applied to David's iniquities. Yet God applied that by faith, looking ahead to the cross. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. That's where I was. Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things or your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. Bring it on, Lord. I'm feeling more and more need for that one. It's an inner renewal. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. Right judgment calls for those who are downtrodden, oppressed by this world. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Otherwise, what?
We lose.
Some of us would be dead in this room because of the sin, not just because I'm getting older or whatever. By the way, remembering his benefits, that's kind of what David's walking through right now. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. Did your kids have that little book, Nut Brown Hair? Remember Nut Brown Hair? I love you this much, says the little baby rabbit to the mama rabbit, who says, well, I love you this much. And they end up loving each other to the moon. You know, just kind of a fun little thing to read and learn to read by. Guess what? As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love, his loving kindness toward those who fear him, revere him, respect him, follow him, love him. That's all tied into that word fear. Verse 12. Man, underline this one. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. We've obtained entrance through him into this grace in which we stand. Anybody else in here thankful for that? The sin that I can remember, besides the sin that I've forgotten about, boy, as I remember it, shame just can take over my day. And when I remember the benefit of his forgiveness, I can walk with my head held high because of Jesus. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear, revere, respect, love him. By the way, Romans gets into that too. Did you know that? Chapter 8, verse 15. We've received a spirit of adoption as sons, whereby we can cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. We can climb up into his lap by faith. For he himself knows our frame or what we are made of. He is mindful that we are but dust. He knows. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my foolishness and sometimes utter stupidity. He knows I'm not sharp enough to catch on real quick to some things. He's patient. He knows our frame. He's mindful of us. We're but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. Man, I remember when I was young and beautiful. Oh my, things have changed over the years. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. Where'd that guy go? But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. How far is that? Well, east from the west kind of a thing. His loving kindness never ends. The loving kindness of the Lord is everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant, who remember his precepts and do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. And then David has the gumption to say, to talk to the angels and command them around. Bless the Lord, you his angels. I think he's just having this moment of saying, hey, I know I'm not alone in this. This is big. You angels, bless the Lord. Say right things and good things and true things. Eulogize him. Mighty in strength who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts. Not just the angels, but the other created beings, whatever they look like. Boy, there's some odd ones that Ezekiel saw. John saw a couple of oddities too. What are they called? We can't call them angels. I don't know what they are, but it doesn't matter. Rejoice, and you do that. You bless the Lord. Verse 22, or the last phrase of 21, you who serve him doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his hands, in all the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Romans takes us there with that word exalt. Including exulting about the tough stuff that we are going through right here, right now. Romans gives us the truth of who we are now in Jesus Christ. And who he is for us, and the fact that if we belong to him and God is for us, who can be against us? Okay, I think a starting point for a victory day is to remember his benefits. Remember what he has done. Remember who he is, and remember who you are because of what he's done. Exult in the standing we have in Christ right now. Interaction. Go ahead, John.
Back in 1977, I got involved in a youth group called CYG, which simply stood for Christian Youth Group, much like Joe's Place. Something was revealed to me from this chapter in Psalm 103, verse 12, that has stuck with me all along. It's one of these little nuggets in Scripture that I think bears worth repeating, especially to the young people that are here today, because it may have the same impact on one of them that's had on me. That is that verse that says, as far as the east is from the west, so God has removed our sin from us. It was pointed out to me that God specifically chose east from the west, because east and west, as you're going either of those two directions, they never meet. Had he chosen as far as the north is from the south, there's a limit on how far north goes before you start going south. There's a limit on how far south
okay.
before you start going north.
Nice.
God has chosen east and west to show us just how fully our forgiveness is. East and west will never meet.
Great picture. Thank you. Thank you. Are there questions or comments? Or exaltation? Yeah?
Well, I think it's interesting, and this is for Michael, as far as man's position, Eve is never mentioned when sin comes into the world. It was man's function to be the leader of the household.
Yeah, that was from the Sunday school teaching this morning. Right. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, that is also clarified that Adam chose to sin. And that passes through his seed. Given here in Romans, given there, and it's an obvious thing. But yes. Yes. I got a place to go, but I'm not going to go right now. Other comments or questions?